Today is such a significant and joyful Sunday for us, not only in the specifics of what it is, but in also the greater picture. And over the last several weeks, I've been telling you that we are just in this unique season as a church where God is leading, God is speaking, God is guiding. And yet again, even though we had this Sunday planned for many months, there is just something God is doing in the midst of it. And most of us are going to know Pastor Mitch. Mitch planted the square alongside me and my wife Emily and a core team, moved at the same time from Seattle, and has been such a significant pastor and leader among our own church family. In 2022, God began to speak about next steps and future for Mitch and his wife Zoe, and begin to place church planting on their heart. In early 2023, we sent them off staff to begin the initial work of planting that church. In that season, they begin to just build a core community. And we knew, as the time was coming for them to move towards a public launch, that we wanted to have Mitch here to not only speak, but for us to become a church that comes alongside and blesses and sees and hears the invitation of what God is doing among us. And so Mitch is going to speak. He's going to come in front of us and lead us in this place of Ephesians. But there's also some other things that God is doing that we want to speak to in this place. And so after Mitch speaks, we're going to together come up and just invite you as a church into the real future of what we believe God is leading the square into. So would you honor and welcome Pastor Mitch Rumpay.
Good morning. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Mitch Rumpay. I am the lead pastor of local church, which is really fun to say that now. You know, just kind of getting used to saying that, and it's kind of a fun thing to do. This is going to be a little bit difficult, not just because midway through this week, Phil and I were chatting, and he's like, "Hey, do you think you could maybe do this in like 20 minutes so that we could do some collective?" And I was like, 20 minutes, you know, I don't know if I've even done an intro that's 20 minutes like since I've been doing this. And so it's going to be hard, but not just because of time limitations, but because there's just so much on my heart that I want to share with you. You know, if I had some sort of kind of corny name for what I want to call this little intro, would be like lessons from leaving. And there's just things that I've learned as I've stepped out and as my community has stepped out and we've begun to try to partner with God for this new work. And if I'm honest with you, transition is such a complex and hard thing. It's hard to try to button it up and explain it. It often feels so lonely. It's like this thing that when you take a step of faith and you realize now you're separated, you begin to feel all sorts of things. And at the beginning of it, it feels like pain. You know, it's so interesting how our brains are wired to attach and grab onto pain first. In fact, your brain so much more easily attaches to negativity than it does positivity. It takes like a millisecond for you to reflect on a bad piece of information. It takes 30 seconds of actually contemplating a good piece of news. This is why one email can throw your whole day off, right? You're like, you have 100 good emails and then one bad email. Like, I don't really like what you said there. And then all of a sudden your whole day is ruined. This is how our brains work. And when you step out in transition, you're just kind of caught in your thoughts and it feels like pain. It kind of feels like you're living in like a Taylor Swift breakup song, you know? It feels like a weird breakup, you know? Did you see that key reference right there? Taylor Swift. Dave, do you see it? You know? It's fun, you know? It's not fun. It's very hard and it's sad and it feels lonely. And it's like the Lord invites those that he calls to kind of enter into these wilderness seasons where it starts to feel like loneliness, where you feel like you've lost something. You feel disconnected, even though you're not disconnected, or you feel like you've lost proximity, even though you haven't truly lost anything. You're stepping into something beautiful, but you feel like you've lost it. And there's been so many moments where I've just felt like pain and it hurts. I remember coming to the Easter service this last year and watching Linz and the team lead and sing that song, "How Great," you know, and I'm just like, how good. And I'm sitting And I'm just crying because I'm like, oh, I miss this. This is such a good song. And I wish I was playing in the band. And this is so amazing. And I just to see like my friend sing a song that was birthed out of pain and hardship and running with God and seeing it steward an environment where God is encountered. It's just like, you're like, I miss it. I miss holding those moments, you know. In 2013, I was 21, and I moved with Phil to help plant this church. And over the last 10 years, I served as an associate pastor here. He's one of my closest friends, and I love him dearly, and I trust him, and I'm grateful for his voice. And the decade of my life that I gave to this church formed me deeply. And it's really at this season of embracing separation that I'm able to look back and realize how sovereign God was in the stewardship of my life. I can't express enough how thankful I am for Phil and this house and what God, and just facilitating a place for God to move in my life. I moved here from my hometown, from the house that I grew up in, because I believed God was going to do something amazing and he was inviting me to be a part of it. And I didn't fully understand that God was using my youthful willingness, passion, and zeal to help me step into something so that he could do something in me. And it made most of those years pretty difficult, to be honest with you. Helping build this house really built me. I was young and I was filled with a lot of passion or angst, depending on what day you kind of caught me. It was just unrefined. I was zealous. And at times, my thank you, God bless you, you are the greatest. This is another example why Lindsay. I was zealous, and at times that zeal and that confidence just kind of erupted in like a form of arrogance, like a bomb in a staff meeting, and I couldn't really hold it in. I thought I knew what the world needed, and I was ready to like show up and show off. And God led me into a season of being hidden to where he could actually move in my life. The square for me was a safe place to grow up and be refined. It humbled me and revealed the tenderness of God to my heart. Phil encouraged me and he heard my thoughts. The staff encouraged me and they heard my heart. And I had so many thoughts and I just shared them, and Phil, like a good older brother, listened and brought me in. I realized that he was an older brother that allowed me to tag along, and not just tag along, but participate to learn. And I'm so thankful for that. Phil let the grace of God correct me and shape me. And I was praying for these words, and I was just like, God brought me to like, Phil knew the name of the chapter of life that I was in, but he withheld telling me because he knew me well enough to know I wouldn't have liked it. You know, it would have said something like, calm down. You're 20 years old. There's a lot more life to live. There's only so much you can learn. You have to live it. The depth of the lesson is in, you know, the days that you experience it. And I would not have received that as a 22-year-old. And he knew it. And he protected me from oversharing. And he let the Lord wrestle with my heart right until I got to where God wanted me to be. And that takes a level of humility and kindness that is rare. It's rare. And I'm so, so, so thankful for that. The square covered me in the deepest moments of pain in my life. It awakened dreams and championed me to go and be faithful. What I thought was a mission from the Lord became a family. I met my wife at the square. This is like the greatest gift of my life. I met through the square, and the staff is some of my closest friends, and I love them and I trust them. I think the hardest part of stepping out is it has created this space where I'm seeing my friends' dreams happen, and I'm no longer as close as I once was. And it's hard, you know, but it's beautiful. And there's something that happens because I believe that God takes us on these journeys, and his vision is to expand and to reach the world, to seek and save that which is lost, to cover every corner with the kingdom of God. And that requires us to allow him to separate us, but maintain a unity together, and it's painful, but it's beautiful, and it's better if we would choose to allow God to do that. And whether or not I've met you, I love you. And I know that that's kind of a strange thing to say. I love you, but you don't know me. And I'm like, but I pray for you. And there's something that happens in the place of intercession where you capture God's heart for you. And I feel like I have a vision for God's heart. I think this is what makes separation all the more difficult, as well as I feel like I can touch God's heart for this room and see what God dreams of when he dreams of you and what he wants to do in you so that he can move through you and what he wants to do to Smyrna and how the square is beginning to touch the dreams that God has for not just Smyrna, but for Atlanta and for the nation, that you are setting a way for the future church. For churches to come, what you have been able to be a part of and what you are a part of is a vision for how church can be that can really transform lives. And that is a beautiful thing. And so I can say that I love you because I feel like I know you. I feel like I know you because I feel like I see what God has for you. And when I watch the live stream after gathering in our house church, I'm like, yeah, God's doing something over there. I miss that, but I know that God's doing something where we are. And man, it's beautiful to see that he's doing something all over. It humbles me and brings me to this place of deep, deep love. In 2023, Zoe and I stepped away from our role at the Square to come alongside the Square as a new work to step out and trust God's leading. Zoe and I and a group of 12 friends began to gather in my house and pursue a vision of community that we got from our school of spiritual formation. We began to ask the question, what would it look like if we cultivated a community centered around a shared rule of life, centered around a prioritization of discipleship unto God, active on mission with a level of accountability? What might God do with us? What would it look like if we centered around a shared theology, made space to share our stories with each other, to learn how God had redeemed each of our lives and placed redemptive values, allowed those redemptive values to challenge us and to stretch us and make space for us to look at this room and the room that we were in and go, okay, God, you brought us together. What might you want to do through us? And rather than projecting our assumptions onto the Lord's will, we just wanted to make space to hear his voice and to linger long enough for him to deepen convictions in our hearts that would give us the confidence to step out in faith. And oh man, that just led to feeling like we were misunderstood by everybody, you know? It's like, what are you doing? Well, I'm kind of doing this house church thing, but we're like gathering and we're really going deep, but like we're repenting and we're taking communion every Sunday and we're just trying to see what God might want to do. So you don't know what you're doing. No, I know what we're doing. It's just that we're doing what God wants us to do. It's kind of, you know, like the thing called faith, like it's kind of hard to explain. And they're like, so is it church or what? And it led us to this place of being like, I don't have language. It was almost as though we were muzzled with vision and what possibility. So that we could just come to what God had for us. It really began to, again, further separate us in this beautiful way so that we could wrestle with God to know his heart for us. We wrestled with whether or not we were going to be a school of discipleship, a missions organization, a church, a network of house churches, or a resource development organization, all of which resonated with all of us in this group. I joined more cohorts than I needed to and was compelled by more testimonies than I've ever heard before. And everything just like stirred us up with faith of what might this be? And at the end of the day, we just want to be faithful to Jesus and what he's calling us to do. To leverage our lives, to be faithful towards the Lord because we believe he wants to do something through us to reach those that don't yet know him. It was towards the end of 2023 that the Lord brought clarity to what this year had been, a season of coming into ourselves, embracing convictions that were earned through the deep work of the Spirit. God took us through a wilderness season together and has led us to plant a church that embodies these convictions and make a church that would testify to a city. And at the beginning of January, we began gathering on Wednesday nights at the Brickyard, a wedding venue in on the Marietta Square. And it's been amazing to see what happens when we just make space for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've seen people touched by God that haven't gone to church. People walk off the street to see what's going on in a square that is filled with churches. There's something happening on Wednesday night that's beautiful, and it's the beginning of something. It's the beginning of this planting story. We want to be a community that is faithful to Jesus. We confess that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that through his life, death, and resurrection, we can function in union and intimacy with God. And this is where we want to start, and this is where we want to stay. We will be a church that is faithful to Jesus, that will walk people into a life of faithfulness to Jesus, of intimacy with Jesus. We're for the people. We believe that God loves the world, that Jesus died and desired all to be saved, healed, set free, discipled, empowered, and commissioned to the ends of the earth. This is what we believe, that the church is meant to be a gathering of people because Jesus loves his people and he wants to raise up a people and see them touched by grace, set free from sin, discipled, empowered, and commissioned. We're for the city. We believe that we are to represent his ways, bear witness to his redemptive work, and serve with his love to see Marietta flourish. We want to see our city flourish in the same way that the square has been able to touch the aspects of Smyrna and make it beautiful, to reaching out to schools and helping kids graduate. We want to see our city flourish. I believe it's time for the church to recapture its mission and mandate to see a city flourish as the kingdom of God flourishes. And we're for the renewal of all things. We believe that Jesus desires his church to actively participate in establishing the kingdom of God in our neighborhood, but also in the nations. And so we will not apologize for fervently going after commissioning people to the ends of the earth, to see 3.2 billion people that don't have access to one word of scripture encounter the gospel. This is what we're leveraging our lives for, not just to be filled up, but to be filled up and sent out, and believe that the body of Christ is meant to be equipped to go into the every single one of us, not the few, but all of us that claim Jesus as Lord, follow as disciples, are meant to be sent out in our workplace and to the world. We believe that God is uniting a remnant of worshipers who desire to see him and to know him, to reclaim the Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A body of people, God, I believe God in churches all across the nation is reclaiming a remnant of worshipers whose one desire is to see God. Oh God, give me clean hands and a pure heart. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to walk into the tent of meeting like Moses. I want to speak to you like a friend. I want to engage with you. I don't want you to just be a concept or an idea. I want to know you personally and deeply. I want to see you. I want my face to be radiant because I've spent time with you. He's reclaiming a remnant of worshipers who know God, who have seen God, who are known by God, who are formed by God as resilient disciples who are able to endure the days and overthrow the kingdom of darkness. I believe the urgency of the days is demanding a church that reclaims an active role in taking territory away from the kingdom of darkness. There's no more time to play games. There's no more time to act like we don't get to be a part of it. You've always been meant to be a part of it. You were always meant to be a part of it, and somehow we've settled for not. And I think this church and that church, it's learning to reclaim that, to be part of God's mission. We believe that God wants to transform lives and transform a city, and we're all in about this. I say this to my community a lot. I just have this, like, it's like, I learned how to preach in a locker room. I was the captain of the football team, which is strange because I was a little more athletic in high school. Hey, you know, like glory days, I learned how to preach in a locker room, and my kind of role during the halftime speech was like, convince everybody to go all in. And as I've been stepping into leadership, I've kind of had to reclaim a little bit of that and realize that that's deeply in me, that I'm convinced that in matters of the church and matters of following Jesus, we have to reclaim going all in, being consumed with the kingdom of God, being obsessed with seeing his kingdom expand. We have to be all in, and this is what we long to do. We believe that God wants to transform, and we want to be a part of that. And we believe in the next season of our journey, God is bringing 30 to 50 people to begin to pioneer with us from this community and from across the community. We've seen God kind of create this tapestry and tethering of people that are coming in that say they want to pioneer alongside this. And, you know, we've seen it, and Phil and I have seen it, that new churches in a city have a way of calling out dormant gifts of leaders, stirring up faith in existing congregations, and most importantly, reaching those who have yet to hear the gospel and respond to the invitation to become disciples of Jesus. We've seen it. Church planting is one of the most powerful ways of actually seeing new people come to know Jesus. And it has this unique way of throwing you in to an environment in such a way that you're like, I have to participate. Chairs need to be stacked, and I am a part, I am invested. And there's something that God does when you give your heart to something. And we're just believing and knowing that God is going to bring people alongside of us to do this with us. And we all need each other. So in the next few moments, I know that there's only a few. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, and it says this, starting in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself captive. He gave gifts to his apostles. And when it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. He himself granted some, he himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till all of us have come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Heavenly Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in the next few minutes. We believe that your word is fully and wholly true and trustworthy, authoritative, God. And we submit to your word, that we would know you and we would see you. May it convict us. May it challenge us. But would it encourage us and transform us? We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Normally, when I teach, I would open up with a series of funny and compelling stories that would really kind of bring y'all into the passage, and it would have a really tight transition that you'd go, oh, I get where he's going, and everyone in the room would feel really, 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 really good about it. It would be like just a moment. We would all share it together. But because I only have a few moments left, we're just going to need to pretend that I did that, that we had that shared moment where you're like, I resonate, I understand him, we're all on the same page. What Paul is doing, and I mean that, like, we're just going to have to pretend like I did that, and we are moving right on, right in to what's next. In Ephesians 1 through 3, Paul is giving this vision of God's love for his people, Christ's work, and our new identity as followers in Christ. And then in the beginning of section 4, or in the beginning section of chapter 4, he casts a vision for the church as a body that is unified and one with different members and differing gifts under the lordship of Christ. A body that grows into maturity and is able to withstand the deceit of the day. And I love in verse 15, it says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Grow up into maturity in Christ. There is a movement and a growth that is required in faithfulness to Jesus. Faithfulness to Jesus is a lifelong journey of growing into and maturing into an understanding of what Jesus did for you, what he is doing in you, and what he wants to do through you. There is a maturing and a growing that is required. And I believe that as we reclaim discipleship as no longer separate from salvation, we will begin to enter into a life with God that grows us into his image, that we would live like him, that we would love like him, that we would look like him in our day to day, that we would look more like him every day. The journey of a disciple of Jesus is one of growing into and maturing into our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly together, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Often when we speak of the church as a body, we think locally as an individual church. This church, this is the body that Paul is talking about. And I believe that this is because of the industrialization of the modern Western church. The church in the past 30 or so years has become individualized enterprises, often isolated from each other. The church has an apostolic movement, meaning that it's the sent ones, sending ones, has become obsessed with sending within. What I mean by that is that oftentimes we get the understanding that God wants to raise up and send out, but what we do is we create structures where the only way to be sent and be validated is to be sent within the existing body rather than being sent out into the world. And I think we actually have to reclaim and understand that Paul's vision of the body isn't just a localized, singular church being a body, but the tethering of the body, of local church, the square church, the churches all down the road are a part of the same body, and we need each other. Paul's vision for the church growing into love is a tethering of the church together, not isolated. What does it mean to grow in love? It means growing and covering more ground, meaning we can't be content just staying in one space. We have to allow God to begin to do a work in our hearts that may feel like he desires to separate us and send us out. I think if we want to see renewal in our day, we have to become okay with God meeting us in one place and sending us to another. And I believe a kingdom movement is happening in our region and in the nation and in the nations. I really do mean this, and I'm not trying to sound too hyperbolic, but if we can capture this vision of unity, we can see a spiritual awakening in our day. Like, if we want to see a spiritual awakening, people's eyes and hearts being opened to the presence and active movement of God, it will require us to be unified. It will require us to step into the messiness of holding hands with other bodies who do it differently. Matt, you can come up. We need to shift our prayers from God, please move, to an even riskier prayer, place me where you are moving. Place me where, here's the thing, and I believe in contending for a move of God, but I think sometimes we say we're contending for a move of God with an assumption that he's not already moving. God is already moving. This is Christ's church, and he loves the church more than we do. He has greater plans and strategies and agendas than we do. He's more clever and he's more impactful than we are. God is on the move and he's showing up where he is wanted. And he's looking for people, not just to ask him to move, but to ask, where are you moving? And place me where you're moving, God. And may we be a house that can sustain the fire that you are pouring out. Whatever it may cost, whatever we have to change, whatever we have to lay down, whatever assumptions that we've thought are just normal, we'll change it because we want to sustain the fire that you are pouring out and be a part of the move that you are doing. You are still seeking and saving the lost because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just want to be a part of it, God. Whatever it may cost me, I want to be a part of it, God. Paul lays out four things that need to take place to help this body grow. He starts out, he says, walk in a manner worthy. Walk in a manner worthy. When we read this, sometimes we think walk in a manner worthy is addressing morality or how what we should and shouldn't do. But worthiness is actually understanding value. And chapters 1-3 is a proclamation of how valued you are by Christ. Walk in a manner worthy is going, understand the value that God has in you. I love this. The price of art is determined by the artist. And if we are made by God, he establishes value. And if he says, you are blessed. As adopted sons and daughters, you are seated above, alongside Christ, as co-heirs, every spiritual blessing, you are valuable. Then you are valuable, and walking in a manner worthy is growing in the confidence of who God says you are. Oh, and allowing that to convict how you live. Oh, if I'm a son of God, what would a son of God, if I am a son of the Most High, a son of a king, a son of the one who is seated above everything, every ruler, principality, if I am that, oh, that changes then how I live and how I engage with the world around me. If I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, if he is using everything that is happening in my life for my good, that changes how then I should live. I think sometimes we go to God and our prayer lives are questioning, am I really? He goes, I've already told you are. And I want you to live in a manner worthy. It's not just a challenge of what to do and what not to do. It's a challenge to say, do you see yourself? When you look yourself in the mirror and you make eye contact with yourself, Do you see yourself like your father sees you? He says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. When you see this as not just the bond of peace in this room and the collective rooms at the 10:30 and the 12, not just in this space, but the bond of unity, the churches around Smyrna and Marietta and Atlanta, we have to reclaim that we are one. Means we have to let go of comparison and competition. Oh, as a church planner, you just see it. It's weird. Oh, you're a new church in town? Well, you're not going to take my people. I love the passion, man, but I just don't think it's going to work. You know, like, it's just crazy. Like, you start to see it and you're like, oh, there's like some competition here. Growing up in Seattle, churches don't survive unless they partner. And coming out here, and this is not a statement of trying to be harsh or critical in any way. It's just to say that the churches can't survive without partnership in the South, or at least they have in the past. And I don't believe moving into the future, they're going to be able to. I think the days are demanding that we actually function like Paul's vision of the church should function, that we would be unified, that we would be partnered, that we wouldn't be threatened by other people's anointing and gifting and calling, that we would actually champion what God has done in their life. That as we step in and we champion what this church is doing, what that church is doing, what this person is doing, oh, then we can be released to be fully who we are in Christ. Yeah. This is the vision. Oh, what if we were more concerned about maintaining the bond of peace than we were nitpicking what we disagree with? Let the enemy throw the fiery darts, and may we hold hands and take and bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters. They are our family. The family of God isn't just in this room. It is everyone who confesses Jesus as Lord and follows as a disciple of Christ. He says we've got to utilize the gifts. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, shepherds. You've been gifted. Do you know you're gifted? You're gifted. God has gifted you. By the grace of Jesus, when you confess Christ as Lord and you follow him, he seals you with the Holy Spirit who gifts you. He wants to develop the gifts that they would be expressed. Your gift isn't sitting. Do you like, hear me. Sitting is not a spiritual gift. And we gather and we make space for the Holy Spirit to minister. And I understand that this is structurally, I'm not making a statement about how this is structured. What I'm saying is your gift is needed. And we have to begin to stretch ourselves and stretch our environments to make space where our gifts are expressed, where our gifts champion each other. How am I using what God has put in me for the sake of my brothers and sisters? It's just a good question to ask. Oh, we're meant to champion and encourage and stir up faith. Your gift is, I say this to our community all the time, no one else is showing up. There's not anyone else showing up at the 9 o'clock service today. It's just us. It's just us. There's not some super spiritual guru that's gonna come walk up and give us all the answers that we're looking for. It's just us. And that means God is secure enough in the gifts that he's put in this room to do what he wants to do. Oh, it's so encouraging. So encouraging. He wants to use you. He wants to use you finally. He says, we want to grow in maturity that we wouldn't be tossed to and fro like children by every lie and scheme of the world. Oh man, do you feel it? It's an election year, get ready. Schemes, deceit, twisting of words. The NLT version says, by lies that seem so good, they might be true. Oh, he wants to mature you so that you can endure the division of the day. And finally, Phil, you can come up. I have one thing I want to say. As I was praying this morning, you know, in our community, we take communion every time we gather. And I was thinking about the Eucharist, the communion, the breaking of the body, and what Christ did the night before he was crucified. He took bread. And he said, this is my body. He blessed it, he broke it, and he dispersed it. Then he took wine. And he said, this is my blood poured out for you. When we look at the example of how Christ stewarded the body, what did he do? He blessed it, he broke it, and he dispersed it. And I just feel like there is a word for us in that. As the body, God wants to break us or bless us first to know him, to see him. He wants to break us by forming us, and then he wants to send us out. Will you just open your hand so I can just pray a quick blessing over you? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you. And I believe that there is convictions of ministry in this room that have lived in a lingering of second guessing. And I just pray, God, that you would bring those convictions to the surface, that you'd reawaken those dreams, that you'd reawaken those passions. God, I thank you for all that you've done, Lord. And I pray that anyone that struggles in seeing how valuable they are in your eyes, they would experience it right now, Lord. I believe that anytime two or more are gathered, there you are, your spirit walks through. Lord, I pray that you would begin to even just touch on the shoulder. Not a warmth. Oh, you're so valuable. You are so loved. And finally, I just want to pray for those who have a longing for more. It's not angst. It's not just frustration. It's the heart of God. I pray, Lord, that you would refine the longing for more and compel into action. That you would consecrate us and give us the character needed to carry out your calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, come on, bro. That's the best sermon I've ever heard you preach. I want to do three just super quick things. I want to name something. I want to pray over Mitch, and I want to invite you into a response. And I've asked Linz and Matt to lead us in this moment. I want to name the substance of what Mitch's teaching is, that God is reawakening a kingdom movement in his church. And I want to say this, you might be here this morning and you're like, I have no idea what you mean by that language. If that's how you feel, I honor you. We're gonna take time over the next series of weeks and through this teaching series to make sure that we understand the picture of what God's doing. And if you're here and you're like, I'm just showing up to church, bro. And you're talking about these big things. And I just want to tell you, this is not about pastors. This is not about leaders only. This is Jesus restoring the priesthood of all believers back to the heart of his church. And part of what God is going to do in this era is he is realigning the way we function as community. You want to know what I learned when I moved to the South? Every church plant that I came to, I found out their origin story was a church split. I was like, what? Church after church that was planted after planted, I realized, oh, there has not been planting. There's been divorcing. And God is going to return unity and friendship. I remember when I left Seattle, my older brother was the senior pastor who is my closest friend. Oh, I felt like I was betraying the community that I loved. And yet there was this kingdom thing in me. And I just want to tell you that as Mitch even shared those same reservations, because we are brothers, even though not by blood, I will go to hell and back for Mitch Rumpe. I want you to know that God is going to begin to awaken kingdom dreams in you too. And you do not need to fear things that might move you to another city, that might move you to another church, that might move you to another place. There is no betrayal in following Jesus. We do not own the church. We are simply stewards of the people God places in front of us. And I just want you to know that the days are coming of the reimagination of the partnership of the church. And it includes you. It includes you. And in this, I just want you to know, you are blessed to be a part of what Mitch and Zoe are doing. There is a release. I'm not telling that you are called to this. But I just want to say, if you are, you are not betraying me or us or this house. This house is a kingdom house. Giving birth is our birthright, our honor, our privilege, and our mandate. And this is only the first. What I want to name for you is that God in the beginning told us that we would be a church planting movement, a missionary sending movement. But in the beginning seasons, we had to establish an identity. And he did that. You know how I said the shift is here? The shift is several things, but this is one of them. The days are coming where God is going to raise up and send out church planters, missionaries, and kingdom movements that aren't just easily categorized in those spaces in you. And what is happening in Mitch and Zoe is a type of our future. And you are fully invited. So in this one word, I just want you to know, let God lead you. Anyone who wants to learn more, we want to be a people. We have financially supported local. We're going to continue to do that. They have needs. Church planting is not easy. Marietta is pretty expensive. If God is moving on your heart to partner in relationship, in generosity, in participation, just come and find Mitch. Write it on your Connect card. Next Sunday at 3:30 in the parsonage, there is just an interest meeting that Pastor Mitch and Zoe are leading. You are welcome and invited to that. God is going to speak to some of you about being prayer support. He's going to speak to some of you about being financial support. And I believe he will speak to some of you about being part of what they're doing. You are invited. And I just want you to know that the kingdom movement is giving birth here. There's no divorcing the kingdom here. There is simply new wine that the old wineskin celebrates, champions, protects, and lets mature until it's ready to be drunk. And that's what's happening here. Would you just join me as I pray for Pastor Mitch. And then we're going to just close in a response. Lord, I love this man. Thank you. We bless him. We bless his wife, Zoe. We bless his kids. We bless every single man and woman who has been part of this journey. Would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? Revival in Marietta, God. Renew your day. Renew your story. And God, would you do a new work here? All of the pain of what was in the church, would the day come where people would see the unity of the body of Christ once again? We love and honor him. We bless and commission him now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you just honor Mitch? And y'all, I know we're a few minutes and we have to have one moment. I'm going to send you. Just hang with me. I feel the need as the pastor of our church to just say, I believe that God is going to give unto us, and some in the today, some in the next year, some 5 years from now, some 10 years from now. There's a kingdom work. I believe there's church planters in this room that right now you think I'm crazy if you think I'm talking about you. That's the feeling. I believe there's missionaries in this room. I believe there are kingdom pioneers in this room that will stay within the church context, but they're called to something really unique. You know, I just prophetically, Gary, Christy, like, I know we're friends. There were kingdom dreams in the farm before I ever knew you, that the enemy feels like he's robbed from you. And I'm not saying that the kingdom dream he's going to give you is the same one that where it started, but I just want to speak to both of you. The kingdom dream in you is going to return, and to pay attention to it. And there's things beyond. We have the kingdom dreams of local church plants, but we've got the kingdom dreams in people like you. And I just even tell you, don't let go. Let God speak to this, because you are a picture too. People need types, and you are those types. People who move into different spaces than we've ever thought possible to see the kingdom of God flourish. And so I just say that to you, I felt stirred this just in this moment. And if would you stand? I've asked Lindsay to lead us in one song that I think is a prophetic invitation. Maybe you've probably never heard it because she just wrote it. But it's about restoring a zeal for the house of God. And I'm here to tell you that this is what Jesus is doing. He's restoring a love for his house. Jesus is flipping the tables of his church. Why do you think in our hour, every single leader who has hidden practices and evil practices and hurts people is being exposed? Because God is jealous of his church. He is taking those out who no longer are rightfully aligned with him. He's revealing brokenness. He's raising up purity, and he's naming his church for who it really is. And he's doing it us. God is giving to anyone who's willing a restoration of zeal for the house in alignment with Jesus. I think he's doing it here. I think he's doing it in you. Jesus, we want to be who you've made us to be. Restore back to the church its true identity. I pray you would release the dreams of the kingdom of God in us, and you would bless everyone to faithful obedience to you. We love and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, prayer teams are going to be available. If we can pray, let us pray. If not, just have an incredible rest of your day, and just know God is going to continue to do this work. May God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he turn his countenance to you, and know everywhere you go this week, you are radically loved by Jesus.